Hello?
Bizarre. Collect call from
Life of a Lifer.
To accept this call, press 5 now.
Hello, welcome to Life of a Lifer. So today we have Tori, who has a great story. So Tori, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How y'all doing?
I'm doing all right. What about yourself?
I'm doing okay despite the circumstances and everything going, you know, on in the world. You know, I'm just trying to maintain and stay focused on the future and hopefully being released if that's possible.
So tell me more about that. Can you please share your story, introduce yourself, and tell us what's going on?
My name is Tori Chisholm, and, you know, I've been incarcerated since I was 15 years old for robbery charges, and I was given 303 years, and like 200 and something was suspended, and they left me with 47 active years to do. And I didn't kill anybody, I didn't have no sex charges, and I've never been incarcerated ever in my life prior to this. So these are the first crimes I ever did in my life, huh?
Oh my God, I can't believe that they did that to you. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so it's not like I was a career criminal or had any type of prior juvenile record, and I didn't. You know, I got incarcerated in 2003, and I'm in the state of Virginia. So I'm in Virginia, and, you know, I was locked up following the wrong crowd, and, you know, I made some bad choices in life, and, you know, I followed individuals that didn't have my best interests, and I ended up committing some crimes that I pretty much paid for my whole entire life. I've now been incarcerated more years than I actually even been out in society. This is the point we're at. So now it's like I'm pretty much fighting for my life and my freedom because, you know, after a while, you in prison and you seeing that you deserve another chance and to redeem yourself and be a productive citizen out in the world. And I just feel like, you know, my life pretty much has been, you know, wasting, and my youth has been wasting in prison.
Well, I really, really agree with you. I think you were too young. I really don't understand what happened that made them come with that crazy decision. But before we go deeper into your case or these actions, I would like to also hear from you what you have been able to accomplish. There's no thought in my mind that is okay with what they did to you. However, consider your reality. Right now you have a big support group of people that are wanting to help you, but that means that you are taking the right decisions inside. So can you please tell me about positive things that you're doing right now with your time, despite the circumstances?
Well, yeah, I'd love to speak on that. You know, honestly, you know, it's been a process of changing my life in prison. Because when I came in, I was young, and I made a lot of wrong decisions because it's dangerous in here. So, you know, I pretty much went from a gangbanger into an activist now for prison reform. And right now, you know, I'm a part of this organization called Second Chance Quest. And it was started by prisoners and their families, and, you know, I have the CEO, Talitha Turner, and her father as the president, and they've been going hard for prison reform in my case, and, you know, they played a major part as far as Second Chance Quest program and helping me make the decision and make the transition from ex-gang member to an activist. And it started in 2015, and I was included in 2016 and then graduated the program because it's an approved program in the Virginia Department of Corrections. And from there, I became a mentor of the program and a facilitator and teacher, which I help other individuals graduate from this program. And I mean, people can look it up at Second Chance Quest on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, join and donate. It's a great, great, great nonprofit organization, and they help people incarcerated in many states. So that's one of the main things that I'm a part of and that we're doing. And I've had jobs in here where I've been GED tutors, because since I've been incarcerated, I did get my GED and I did get a plumbing trade. So I've been a tutor at times when I was able to keep that job, and I was a tutor helping people get GEDs. And I also been a facilitator for Thinking for a Change program at one point in time too during this incarceration. So, you know, I had to make a transaction from gang banging in prison, because a lot of my situations that I was getting into and getting in trouble for was always other people's problems. It was never my problems. And these same individuals go home and they didn't do nothing for my kids, my family, or me, you know. And being incarcerated, you know, a lot of gangs, people join for protection because it's dangerous in here. And being young, coming in here, you're going to go to what's cool and what's you feel accepted. And I know that if I were to continue gangbanging, I wouldn't even be able to process my mind and go home. And not only that, my wife. You know, my wife really changed my life, because she's the force behind a lot of the things that I'm doing. Without her, I wouldn't be able to do none of this. And her and my kids, you know, helped me make that transition to stop living the life that I was living, because going in a hole and being away from them made me, you know, change a lot of the thought process that I was having. So, yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I don't know if you know, but I'm actually, my husband is serving life in prison. So when you talk about your wife, it makes me cry, because I know what you mean. It's a beautiful, I feel that my relationship with my husband has been good for both of us. So I'm happy to see that you have the same type of support. I have a question for you. So you mentioned that you got incarcerated in 2013, and it was around 2015 that you started getting involved into programs. How old were you? Were you 25, 26 at that time?
When I started changing a lot of my ways?
The new programs, and this, when you switched your mentality from being in the gangs and started taking education and getting involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, to be honest, I started making this transition and changing my mind in around 2015 or 16. It started from 14, though, to 18, because I was charge-free and staying out the way. But I was still involved with gangs. Even though I was a facilitator, I was changing my life and trying to get people to change theirs. But it was one incident. I think I was probably about, that was 7 years ago. So I was about 26 when I started really changing my mind. But, you know, it's dangerous in here. So you can't just say, I don't want to be a gang member no more, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like I was still had one foot in and one foot out. But I kept, you know, doing the right things. But it was something happened in 2018 that made me. Between 2018 and 19, I said it's a wrap, because I kept getting in trouble for other people's incidents. You know, it was like I was changing my life and doing the right things, but you're still involved with these type of individuals. So if something happened, they look at you as obligated to help, and then they pulling you in, and always it's a chain reaction. So I got to the point where it was like, you know, enough is enough. You know, my freedom and my wife and my kids and my mother and my support system is way more important than gangbanging and having individuals in your life that really don't care about you.
Yeah. So, yes, I don't know if you have heard about the emerging adult, the concept of, like, people, especially men, don't fully have developed their brain until the age around 25. So before 25, men especially tend to be more impulsive and more like acting like not fully developed adults. That's why I'm asking you the question. So your story actually got along really well with that point. It was around when you were 25 when you realized that, hey, this doesn't make sense to you. And it's because you science backed up the fact that you were not a fully developed adult. And that has to do a lot with love. Coming back to that, you were 15, you were juvenile. I really don't understand what they did that to you. And so I'm really through this story about that.
Yeah. And at the time, I think they was really being strict on juveniles because I don't know if you remember, but you remember the case, the D.C. sniper?
Yeah.
You might have remembered, but it was kind of a big thing in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Well, one of them was named Malvo, and he was following his stepdad, and he was a teenager. So once that happened, right before I got locked up, so I'm coming along with no murder charges or nothing, but I'm a juvenile, and they felt like, well, we need to be harsh on juveniles because we have this case right here, and we're going to have to be harsh on this juvenile. And it was a chain reaction after him where they was harsh on juveniles in this state.
Yeah. Well, they make decisions that don't make sense. And that's definitely one. Okay. So do you have anything else to share about how people can help you, some facts about your case, or something that you want to share with the audience?
Well, yeah, most definitely. You know, I want everybody to know that, you know, individuals change. You know, sometimes in prison you become adapted to your surroundings, and it's hard to change. No matter how hard you try, but you just got to keep going and going and fighting, because if you want to be free, you have to go get it. And at this point, I'm relentless about my freedom, you know, because there's nothing more important in life than that. I definitely want to thank Storm Monroe. He's been going hard in trying to help me, and I did an interview on his platform. And also, I have a petition on change.org called Free Tory Chisholm 1018519, and I just appreciate all the support that I'm getting, and I definitely appreciate and I'm thankful for this platform and what you've been doing, because, you know, me and my wife reached out to you, and I know about everything that you've been doing, and you're doing a great, phenomenal job. Also, and I want to thank State versus Us too. They've been helping, and my legal team, John Cogasaw, Lenny Singleton, Vandy Hill, and, you know, everybody that's supporting me in this fight to try to get me home.
Yeah, they will get you home. Don't lose hope. Keep doing positive things, because I think you are pointing out something very important is, first of all, you need hope. Whenever you have support, you have hope. Once you have hope, fall into that. Keep working hard on that. Don't let the drama that's going on there, put you down, and be strong. I know in my heart that you can accomplish it. So keep doing what you're doing, and I commend you. I want to thank you for coming out here to Life Love Lifers.
All right, I thank you, and I appreciate this conversation, and I thank you for everything.
Thank you. Well, have a wonderful day, despite your circumstances. And until next time, everybody, thank you.